at 596.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Swayed at the Network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Here's today's lineup. Stephen Wilford, representative of Gun Owners of America, known around the country as a good guy with a gun for helping stop the largest Texas mass shooting in the history of the state back in 2017. We're going to talk about Raleigh's active shooter event. Some interesting stuff there. Then Judd Garrett, his latest, delusional, and Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, journalist disappears. My goodness. All right, getting into it here. Raleigh's active shooter event is the latest reason now why the U.S. needs a nationwide constitutional carry solution. The hero with a gun, Stephen Wilford, explains why the Constitution carry is a far better option than trying to go out for an all ban. The latest active shooter event for 2022 has unfolded in the heart of Raleigh, leaving a community reeling from its results. Five people, including three women and a police officer, are dead due to the actions of a 15-year-old boy who is in custody and in critical condition at a nearby hospital. The investigation, currently ongoing, according to reports, with police trying to piece together what could be a motivation, such as a young boy, to do such a thing. That said, this is the latest active shooter event without a solution. Though Stephen Wilford has a pretty good idea of what to do, Stephen serves as a spokesman for Gun Owners of America. And, as I said, you may recall in 2017 how he stopped the Sutherland Springs, Texas mass shooting, acting as a good guy with a gun. And his expertise is certainly welcome in this matter. Welcome back, Stephen. How are you, sir?
To be back. Thank you for having me on.
You know, you've spoken at great length in the past about the effectiveness of private citizens having the option to constitutional carry. Why do you think this is the most viable solution now to resolving the active shooting events like this one I just mentioned?
The new data has come forward here that proves exactly what the GOA has been saying for quite some time. The FBI came out with their data, and it's really skewed the way the FBI did it. They took all active shooters situations in general and just lumped them all and said 4% of the time, civilians other than law enforcement stop active shooters. But most of the active shooters happen to be in gun-free zones. So John Lott pulled out of their information, all of the active shooter events that happened between 2014 and 2021. And he turned around and pulled out the numbers from, separated out the active shooters that were happened in gun-free zones where civilians couldn't have stopped it anyway because they're gun-free zones. And out of that, when they pulled it out, there were 204 shooting events that happened not in a gun-free zone within that time frame between 2014 and 2021. And out of those 204 events that happened, 104 of them were stopped by non-law enforcement civilians. That's over 50% of the time when you don't restrict someone from carrying a gun, a civilian stops a mass shooting. Now, of course, a civilian's not going to stop a mass shooting in a gun-free zone because we obey the law. We don't carry in those gun-free zones. And a lot of times those gun-free zones have metal detectors and things to prevent you from carrying. So civilians aren't going to stop. And what is even more interesting about his findings were there wasn't one innocent civilian shot accidentally by someone that stopped an active shooter. So what that tells you, because police departments sometimes hit innocent bystanders accidentally trying to stop a shooting. But non-law enforcement people that stopped active shooter events between 2014 and 2021 didn't hit one innocent bystander.
Pretty good record.
Those numbers are incredible. So what that tells me is get rid of the gun-free zones. Allow people to carry in these so-called gun-free zones. Because we are more likely, I'm not trying to in any way slam law enforcement, because I believe in that thin blue line, and I believe that people are putting their lives on the line to defend people, and they may not even know who they're running to defend. So I believe in the thin blue line, and I support law enforcement, but reality is law enforcement aren't first responders. Law enforcement are second responders. You are your own first responder. Normally, it takes police far too long to stop a shooting.
Hey, let me ask you a question real quick, Stephen. Gun-free zones, all right? How does a criminal know that it's a gun-free zone? Do they, like, automatically assume if it's a grade school or a church or something like that? Because you don't have a sign, right, that this is a gun-free zone. How is
most
it that
of
you
time,
determine?
Most yeah, of the time ahead. You do have the signs. Like in Texas, you have the 30-06, 30-07, and 30-05 signs. And 30-06 is you can't carry guns in this at all. 30-07 is you can't carry open. 30-05 is you can't carry without a permit. So in Texas, you're broadcasting that it's a gun-free
yeah.
zone, and there's certain places that you know you can't carry, polling places, schools,
right.
and things like that that are standard gun-free zones, and they don't even have to have the signs. But you know as a permit holder or as a Texan that it is a gun-free zone. You know, government buildings and stuff. In some states, churches, as you mentioned, Texas, we can carry in a church now.
Yeah.
But there are gun-free zones, and yes, they are signed on the doors that you can't bring a gun in here at all. You know, so those gun-free zones are the places. So the shooter in New York, for instance, that went into Buffalo, New York, he talked about this in his manifesto. He said you can't he looked it up, and in this mall, this area of Buffalo, New York, had the lowest percentage of concealed carry permit holders in the nation. And he knew that high capacity magazine bans were in effect. He knew that nobody could have an AR-15 or anything like that. And he mentioned all of this. He went there knowing that New Yorkers in this area of Buffalo, New York, were left defenseless. And he had on body armor that would stop pistols and stop rifles. And he knew that the security guards only had Class 2 body armor and that his body armor would stop their guns, but their body armor wouldn't stop his. And he murdered a security guard, too, at that location. He scoped it out. He knew where he was going, where he could get a high body count.
I used to work in Texas, all right, in radio and TV, and I never recall seeing, those indications that you talk about, that, you know, what you can't carry and what you can carry.
Did you have a permit?
No, I didn't. It was just that, you know, it wasn't very obvious that they would say you can't carry here and you can't carry there. Did some really knowledgeable Democrat come up with that idea where you could announce the type of gun you couldn't carry to let the criminal know what his chances were?
Well, when you ban a gun, all the criminals know which guns are banned.
That's right.
And they don't care what the ban is or not. They're criminals. That's why they don't care about the law. See, that's what people can't wrap their minds around, is criminals aren't going to pay attention to your law anyway. You can pass all the laws in the world. They're criminals. The guy in Buffalo, New York, pulled his car right up to the door of the shopping center and parked in a no parking zone. Do you think he was worried about getting a ticket for no parking? He parked it in a no parking zone and went in and started murdering people. He doesn't care about your laws. He knew he was going to be murdering people. He didn't care where he parked his car. That's another charge. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. But the laws don't apply to the criminals in their mind. Mm-hmm. They're not going to say, this is a gun-free zone. I don't need to come in here with my gun.
It's the old saying, you know, when you outlaw guns, only outlaws will have the guns.
And that's absolutely a fact. They don't care about your laws. And so what you're doing is you're making gun-free zones. You're making it easy for a shooter to come in and shoot a bunch of unprotected people that are unable to defend themselves. New York laws aren't helping New Yorkers. They have among the highest rate of what they call gun violence. Because criminals is shooting fish in a barrel. They don't have to worry about it. And if you go to the jails and you talk to criminals, what they fear most is not the police. It's armed victims. They see you as a victim. They come up and all of a sudden you're armed and now they're in trouble. They fear that more than they do the police themselves. Because if they see a police officer, they can avoid him. If they see a typical person walking down the street that's carrying a gun, they don't know that. And you may look like a victim to them, and they may find out real quick you are not. And they may get shot. So it's time to get rid of gun-free zones. It just makes sense. And John Lott's findings that were extrapolated from the FBI's own data show that if it is not in a gun-free zone, 50%, over 50% of the time, it's stopped by a person like myself.
Absolutely. Boy, I'll tell you. Boy, this really went fast today, Stephen, and I want you to let the listeners know, how can they contact you and how can they get involved in this further?
Please go to gunowners.org. And sign up, look around there and see what's going on, see what events happening. When you sign up at gunowners.org, it will give you information that's happening in your area so you can be an activist and you can get involved and you can go do, even if you don't sign up as a GOA member, which I encourage you strongly to do, be part of the solution. But even if you don't sign up as a GOA member, you can sign up there for your email, to get emails to you to let you know what's going on and
fantastic,
what's happening in your area.
Wow. Very interesting, 100% great report today from Stephen Wilford. StephenWilford.com and go to gunowners.org, GUNOWNERS.org, gunowners.org. Thank you, sir. Look forward to our next visit.
Thank you, and God bless.
All right, Judd Garrett is coming up next.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. My friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder here, CRN. Let me tell you about my next guest, the one and only Judd Garrett. After 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, he began a 12-year coaching career with the Saints, Dolphins, Rams, and Cowboys, served another 12 years as a personal executive with the Cowboys. By the way, he's written 2 screenplays, frequent contributor to the topics of sports and politics to Real Clear Politics, and No Wind, W-I-N-D, that's his first published novel. Judd is married, father of 6 children. That's almost a football team in itself. Judd, welcome back. How are you?
Doing?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear him.
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, there you are. Okay, fantastic. Well, fair to partly cloudy today, yes. Boy, you have got some good ones here, I got to tell you. Delusional. We're going to talk a little bit about football, but really, what does it have to do with football? Judd says 7 weeks into the NFL football season, there are millions of people in this country scouring their fantasy football rosters every single day. First of all, let's for those that are not identifying with the word fantasy football, all right, it's not like you have a bad team and you really think they're going to win. It's entirely different than that, I guess, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, fantasy football is this game that people play where they pretend like they're actual NFL general managers. And, you know, it's all done on the computer. And, you know, you have a group of 10, 12 of your friends, and you get together and you pick players from all the different teams at all the different positions and how they perform each Sunday. You get specific amounts of points, and the team, you know, the team with the most points each week, is the winner. And, people love this. I mean, it's one of the main drivers in the, popularity of NFL football, is because people are really into, fantasy football and pretending like they're general managers and living in that type of world.
So you're not picking a particular team. You're just taking, 12? Is that the normal amount, or do you do defense and offense on the team?
Yeah, different leagues do it differently, but most leagues, you'll have, a starting quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, a tight end, and then they'll have probably about a handful of players on defense, and based on how statistically how each player performs, you get specific amounts of points, and you play against another team, and so a lot of people actually pay more attention to their fantasy football teams than they're actually teams that they root for. So,
Let me tell the listener real quick. If you go to Judd's website, okay, objectivity is the objective. Objectivity is the objective.com. He had a little cartoon skit on the top of this one, and it was a coach chewing out a certain defensive player, and he says something like, I don't have it in front of me, but it was like, why didn't you tackle that quarterback? You could have had him, no problem. The guy says, are you stupid? He's on my fantasy football team. and you know what? And it's truthful, isn't it? But I wonder how many football players, that's what came to my mind, Judd. I wonder how many actual good football players, or even partially good football players, get involved in fantasy football. Or do you think they don't even mess with something like that?
No, I think there's a decent amount of players who do the fantasy football. There's some coaches. I know it's big in the scouting departments, because they're real into evaluating players and pretending like they're GM. So, I mean, it is fairly widespread throughout the NFL. Now, obviously, I don't think a player is not going to sack a quarterback or get an interception because it'll hurt their fantasy football team, but to a certain degree, a lot of the fans are that way. They'll prefer that their fantasy football team does better than their actual hometown team who they root for.
Well, let me tell you something, listener. It's basically, a lot of people, they think and they believe in a world of delusion and not of reality. And we're going to get into how in the world would a fantasy football team tie in with what I just said. Judd Garrett is my guest, and remember this website, objectivityistheobjective.com. And we're going to continue in just a moment with the one and only Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. Be right back.
Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
It's the unlucky 13th edition of a long-running saga and the conclusion of a trilogy of its most recent incarnation, with Jamie Lee Curtis once again fighting off a sicko seasonal fiend in Halloween Ends, now in theaters everywhere.
What are you gonna do when Michael comes back for you?
This time, something feels different. He's more dangerous. He killed my daughter. But tonight, I will kill him.
Yeah, but first she has to deal with her own granddaughter, one of mass murderer Michael Myers' unlikely disciples. Most of the scenes of sadistic slaughter will produce uncomfortable giggles rather than gasps of horror. One can only hope that director, co-writer David Gordon Green will keep his promise that this is the very end of the series. 1.5 stars for Halloween Ends. It's rated R, of course, and it's more a trick than a treat.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Judd Garrett. Objectivity is the objective.com. You know, I'm talking about this fantasy football, and, you know, it's almost like Monopoly. I was just thinking, Judd, you know, it's not real. You're not really getting all that money. And like you say in this article, none of it's real. It's all a mirage. But is it rubbing off on other factors of their life, do you think? That's when we get into the guts of this story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, more and more people, you know, are living their lives on the internet and cyberspace. They play video games. Now they're getting into all this virtual reality. So their entire worlds are becoming, you know, this virtual world, this world of delusions. And, you know, there are some real life ramifications. And, you know, you don't have to look any further than, you know, the explosion of this whole trans movement that has sort of taken over our country over the last, you know, handful of years. It sort of has coincided with the explosion of the internet. And, you know, there's so many people, especially young people these days, who are living their lives, you know, in this fantasy world, in this world of delusion, that it only makes sense that some of them are starting to you know, believing in these delusions and thinking that they may be a member of the opposite sex, because everything right. else in that virtual world can be changed whenever they want. So why not be able to just change your gender, change your sex?
Yeah, you mentioned the Kardashians. They're billionaires for doing what? question mark. You know, you really don't know. But also, you say the world is very go ahead. You were going to comment on that.
I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, the Kardashians are famous for being famous. They haven't really done anything and produced anything of value. But, you know, we're told by, you know, by television or by the media or whatever that these people are important and you have to watch what they do. And again, it's all a house of cards. It's all a mirage. It's all a delusion. They're making billions of dollars off of it, but you know, none of it is real. None of it is authentic.
You know, it's interesting that on Facebook, I constantly run across somebody posting one thing that says, "I am happy to report that I have not watched one episode of the Kardashians this year." And it's like, and I don't watch them. And I'm thinking, well, I guess I'm doing the right thing, apparently, because this thing sure pops up a lot. But you say the world is very easily manipulated, right? And COVID-19, climate change, there's so much stuff, you know. You're saying, oh, no, it's got to be real. But see, you've already apparently been programmed to thinking that this stuff is real because so many people are repeating it, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that, you know, over the last, you know, whatever, you know, 3 or 4 years, the two biggest threats that we're constantly told about by the media, you know, by the internet is COVID and climate change. Both of those things, whether it's the COVID virus or, you know, carbon dioxide, both of those things we cannot see. I do not know what a COVID-19 virus looks like. I cannot see carbon dioxide. So there's these invisible things out in the world that other people, supposed experts or politicians, are telling us that we must fear. We must fear carbon dioxide. That's why we got to change our entire energy policy. We must fear the COVID-19 virus. That's why we have to lock down schools and give everybody, you know, injections and all that stuff. But in reality, we can't see these things that we're constantly told are threats.
You know what? And when you hear, listener, people like Judd and I and many others that are talking like this, you also have to realize that in 2020, we relinquished most of our constitutional rights, so many of them. But it was like, oh, we got to do it because of COVID. And I'll just tell you, Judd, you know, they also had practice for COVID, like 2 or 3 years before it ever hit, they already had, you know, what if something like COVID hit or something like that? You know, it's unbelievable. And climate change, one of my biggest, I guess, complaints in the whole world is how they, you know, just keep moving the goalposts. We only have 5 years. We only have 12 years. We've got 10 years. We've got 9 years. And now, I don't know, I guess we have it until the next electoral presidential voting comes up, yes. Or other words, it would be swamped, yes.
Exactly. I mean, it's all this make-believe world that the politicians and the people in the media want us to live in so they can control us. Mm-hmm. So they keep feeding us this information, like you said, whether it's COVID or climate change or whatever, and we're supposed to be scared of it, we're supposed to be concerned about it, so then they can enact policies which take more and more of our constitutional rights from us. And, I mean, the perfect example, like you brought up, is what's going on with Biden and him releasing all those barrels from our strategic energy reserve.
Right.
Supposedly, he's supposed to be against the use of fossil fuels. But since his policies have driven up the price of gasoline so high that in order to help his party win the election, he's got to knock those prices down. So he's releasing all this fossil fuels into the market to drive down the prices. But I thought he was against the use of fossil fuels. But he's for it now for the next 20 days until the election. So hopefully a few more Democrats get elected. But the day after the election, the draconian policies against the fossil fuel industry will be back in effect. So he really doesn't care about how much the American people are paying for gas. He only cares about doing whatever he has to do to get more and more power, and that's the way they operate with all their policies.
And, you know, the reason he had to do that, I guess I think the main reason, he went to Saudi Arabia or wherever and said, hey, don't raise the prices until after the midterm elections in America. You know, that's pro quo quid or whatever. You remember that we went on forever and ever and ever with Trump and his telephone call with some guy in the Ukraine or Russia? Yeah, the same thing, but he got caught for it. And so they said, no, we're not going to, hold back on releasing what we're doing and change our whole thing. So then he had to go back to the reserves. And the reserves are there for a reason, because they're being reserved in case of an emergency. And this ain't an emergency. This is the President of the United States, Biden, or whoever's pulling his strings.
Yeah, and then if you really think about it, we're so concerned about what's going on with Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah.
Well, if we would have just kept Donald Trump's fossil fuel and energy policies in place where we're energy independent, then we could be providing Europe with all the energy that they need to survive through the Ukraine-Russian war, and we could really strangle off, the profits that Russia is making off of their sale of their oil. But the fact that he adopted this green energy policy has put us in a really weak position to help Europe and help Ukraine in this war against Russia, and he refuses to backtrack on his policies, and the only people who are getting hurt are the American people and the European people because of these crazy energy policies of the Democrats.
And then there are the other things that keep going on and going on and going on, and thank goodness we have writers like Judd Garrett who brings it to your attention. And I want to switch gears here. Check out the whole story on Delusional and all about, the fantasy team and all that stuff and how people are, kind of in fantasize might be the word. Just simply go to his website, objectivityistheobjective.com. But he had another one that came out just in the last couple of days. The beatings will continue. Quote, the beatings will continue until morale improves. And he says this quote is often attributed to Captain Bligh, of the ill-fated ship, the Bounty. Remember that? And it means that we're going to continue to punish you until you submit to us and like it. And when I read those words, Judd, it's like you automatically are listening to, some German soldier or whatever, or Hitler maybe. We'll go that, yeah. It's like something Hitler would say. You will submit and you will like it, and be sure to tell us if your parents are cheating on what we're supposed to be doing and all this good stuff. You say J.P. Morgan Chase, a leader in the ESG movement, has reportedly severed ties, that's business ties, with rapper Kanye West. Why? Well, he wore a White Lives Matter shirt at a Paris fashion show. Now, J.P. Morgan Chase, listener, I'm sure you've heard about that. They're the people that know how to spend your money and save it and how you should spend it and all this good stuff, right? But because a black man wore a White Lives Matter shirt at his Paris fashion show, it wasn't his Paris, I don't think, but anyway, unbelievable the control they want to have on you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they're not literally going to take us and beat us like, yeah. like the Nazis did or like Captain Bligh did to his shipmates. But what they're doing is they're going to use every source of power at their disposal to get to submit to them and like it. So the example of Kanye West, he wore White Lives Matter shirt, and then immediately J.P. Morgan Chase severs ties with him. Just think about it. I mean, I believe Kanye West had over $500 million with them. So they're turning down $500 million of money that they could be managing, because he said White Lives Matter. So they're going to that extreme to, get people to think the way they want them to think. And if they can do it to Kanye West, they can do it to you and I, because I don't have $500 million, not even close. So if they can do it to him, they can do it to most Americans.
Yeah, and you know, and Kanye West has already proven. Well, I think one thing is, remember when he made those visits with Trump and got so much publicity? I have a funny feeling that had something to do with it. So J.P. Morgan Chase, whoever's running it, is probably trying to tell the Democrats and, you know, I'm on your side, so let me get this guy. But you say he's pro-choice, Black Lives Matter, anti-Christian Democrat, and he'd still have an account with J.P. Morgan Chase, but holy moly. Also this week, Bank of America canceled popular conservative Twitter user. Who's this, Cotard's podcast account? I'm not familiar with him, I don't think. I probably, Leanna, don't know it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a conservative Twitter user. I mean, he's got a lot of followers, and again, you know, because he espouses, you know, conservative views, Bank of America just comes up and they cancel the account to his podcast, and again, they don't like your politics, so they're gonna cancel you. They're not gonna do business with you, and they're doing that all to change the way people think. You can only have bank accounts if you espouse the, you know, the far left, the woke, you know, political narratives.
So it's, you know, they go after certain websites, you know, even like this one. You know, whenever I announce a subject that my listener's going to be talking about, I have a problem sometimes. Sorry, that's not to be, you know, and on and on and on. And then banks get involved. And I kept telling people, this has gone on for about 2.5 years, and I don't know if it's just in California or what, but Chase Bank once made a statement about 2 years ago that we don't care if we do any business with conservatives. And people would say, no, they didn't do that, and I showed them the news story, but now they kind of laid back on it. But, you know, Bank of America, wow, shouldn't it just be like Bank of Democrats or what?
And then the interesting thing is that all these banks, if they're managing people's money, they have a fiduciary obligation to the people whose money they have to make decisions which are in the best interest of the client so they can make as much money as possible. So by canceling Kanye West, they're lowering their own stock price and all of that. So they're hurting their other customers by doing that.
Yeah, we were also, you mentioned here, you get into the gay couple's wedding cake. Colorado Jack Phillips, that's what it was, spent over 5 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars defending that lawsuit because he refused on religious grounds to make a gay couple's wedding cake. You know, you remember those signs you see, we refuse service, or we, yeah. I understand they just print those up and they don't mean anything. I said, what do you mean they don't mean? They can't refuse my service? No. Yeah, just get out of hand and see if they can refuse your service. I'll tell you. It's coming up on our break here in just a moment. Go ahead. Yeah, you got time.
That's the hypocrisy of it. So the bank can not do business with Kanye West and other people,
right,
because of their political views, but the baker has to make the cake for the gay couple or the trans couple. So that's the hypocrisy of the whole thing.
You know, and when we return, you'll have time, I think, to get into this one. There was these two pro-life pastors, okay, Mark and Paul, all right? And I'm going to let Judd tell you that story when we come back. Judd Garrett. And remember the website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Excellent writings, and also his novel, No Wind, and I think that's available at Amazon.com. Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill, Columbo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Columbo's family Italian recipes? Columbo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, Magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Columbo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself. Columbo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mind you, Ben.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Judd Garrett. And be careful if you're a pastor of what you pray for. This is, you talk about, you know, the Gestapo. Judd, this is almost a perfect example. So you got these two pastors, Mark Houck, H-O-U-C-K, and then Paul Vaughn, and they had their home raided. And why did they have their home raided? Well, because they were singing and praying, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were in their homes, and the FBI came in, and they raided their home, and they both were arrested in front of their family and dragged away to jail. And their crime was, you know, one was singing hymns in an abortion clinic, and another one was praying outside of an abortion clinic. And, you know, they you know, I think one of them is facing 11 years in federal prison for doing that. In the meantime, there have been, in the last 6 months, there have been 26 crisis pregnancy centers across America that have had, that have been attacked. They've been vandalized, firebombed by pro-abortion extremists. And the FBI has not made one arrest in any of those attacks, not one. So they're arresting the two pastors who were nonviolent, just singing and praying. They get arrested. They're facing 11 years in jail. And the pro-abortionists who are firebombing crisis pregnancy centers, the FBI has done nothing to find out who they are.
Man, it sounds like they've got these arrestees. Sounds like they've come down with the January 6th virus, I guess it is. Yeah, my goodness, I don't think it's ever been this bad, not in my lifetime. You know, of course, I was born a long time ago during World War II, Judd. So I don't know how bad it was back then, but I'll tell you one thing: Americans wouldn't sit around or stand around and let things that are going on right now. It's just, but if you protest, I guess you get arrested, right? Yeah, protest and arrest probably go together. Apparently, it's popping up so much. Go ahead.
How many people who committed violent acts and destruction during the BLM riots actually were arrested, and how many of those actually spent any time in jail? Very few. But again, we're arresting these two pastors, and it's just proving the point. If you think the right things politically, you can get away with pretty much anything. And if you think the wrong things politically, they're going to get you for even the slightest infraction.
And I'm going to tell you something, listener. If I ever have one of those days, and I get them every once in a while where maybe a guest doesn't make it and I have to fill for like 15 or 20 minutes, I've got one put aside that Judd Garrett wrote, and I'm going to tell you it is fantastic. It is filed under objectivityistheobjective.com, and it's called Donald Trump's Biggest Mistake. And I'm not even going to give away the ending here, so to speak. I'll tell you, the ending is a lot. It keeps ending in this entire script, but it is so fantastic, Judd. And I appreciated each and every visit that you're here. And, wow, I wished I could write like you, and I might take a vacation, go down to a lake or something, you know, and just start writing. Hey, best to you and yours and those six children. Still giving you a good time, right?
Yeah, they're great. They're great.
Yep, okay. Almost a football team. Yeah, so all right. Good luck with your Cowboys.
Okay. All right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Objectivityistheobjective.com. Hey, guess what? Selwyn Duke is coming up, and oh, my goodness, some of these stories you would not believe, but it happened. It is true. We'll be right back. CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I've got Swade at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. When next we meet, Reese Lloyd, author of the Flag Amendment Resolution, longtime civil rights attorney, going to talk about vets and Congress. And then Frank Savato, host of the Underground USA podcast, with all of his latest updates. Right now, I want to introduce my next guest, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and Selwyn has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. He appears on television and a frequent guest on radio. His website, selwynduke.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen and germs, here comes the Duke.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, 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 Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl.
All right, yes, sir. Just remember, ladies, it's a slow dance, although it's so exciting. Hey, Selwyn, how are you?
Not bad, not bad. Look, I'm about to take a walk on the wilder side, so how could I not be good? And, Chuck, there's your song right now. I've got Duke of Earl. You've got that one. Take a walk on the wilder side. How are you, Chuck?
Take a walk on the wilder side. Okay. I'm doing fair to partly cloudy today. Chance of great guests. Oops, here's one. SELWYN. It sounds like a radio station, doesn't it?
I'm a great guest. I grade on everybody, Chuck. That's what they tell me.
All the hits on SELWYN. Okay. You know what? I got to tell you, we, unfortunately, listener, we got to get with some real serious stuff. And I'm going to tell you, these first two that we're going to cover, very, very serious. And the second one, by the way, I watched it in its entirety on Mr. Tucker Carlson last night. Earth-shattering. I'm going to tell you, you couldn't get away with this about 10, 15 years ago without being locked up. But anyway, let's check out this one. Journalists disappeared after the FBI, what? They don't do, yeah, here they are again in the news. After the FBI raided his home seeking classified information. And like Selwyn says, it sounds like something right out of the Iron Curtain, Eastern Europe, or perhaps even a movie. Government agents raiding a journalist's home, and they seize information from him, and then he disappears. And I don't think they took him either.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe aliens got him, Chuck. I have no idea. Maybe space aliens. But
there's a lot of
it's
no
joking matter.
About the ones that were sneaking across the border. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, could be those too. Who knows?
Yeah,
but
really.
Yeah, no, this is a really bizarre story. All joking aside, very, very strange. And it's months later now, and nonetheless, friends, colleagues, acquaintances—they have no idea where this man is. That's the story. And anyway, this did happen in these United States, and The Independent, in fact, was reporting on it, which is a liberal paper, a big paper. And this fellow's name is James Gordon Meek. He's this acclaimed national security reporter, Chuck. He hasn't been seen since the FBI raided his apartment in April. He lived just outside Washington, D.C. And anyway, The Independent writes, former colleagues at ABC News, a co-author on his forthcoming book, and even his neighbors say they have no idea where the documentary producer has been. Okay, and then The Independent, which again is a liberal paper, it writes itself, quote, the worrying disappearance raises questions over whether the Biden administration has targeted or arrested the journalist, a major test of the president, who made a point last year to put new safeguards in place protecting reporters during leak investigations. And then it writes a little later, anonymous sources familiar with the operation told Rolling Stone, which broke this story, I believe, the reporter was suspected of possessing classified material on his laptop, something not out of the realm of possibility for a national security reporter. Well, so that's the story. And Rolling Stone actually seemed to do a pretty good job here. It's a far left-wing publication. But I have to say their writing here was quite good. And they pointed out that this fellow Meek sent his last tweet, Chuck, at a minute before 5 a.m. on April 27th, okay? And he just had a single word in that tweet, facts, and he was tweeting out something that someone else had tweeted. This person was a former CIA agent, Mark Polymeropoulos. He was talking about the Ukrainian military, and his take was that it basically was taking Russia to the cleaners because of assistance from the U.S., but anyway, so here's another fact, as I put it in my piece. Well, Meek's home would be raided later that very morning on April 27th. And again, don't know what happened to this guy. But anyway, Rolling Stone provides a little more information about him. It seems like he had somewhat of an interesting life, or has. I shouldn't speak about him, Chuck, in the past tense. And Rolling Stone writes, the interchange, meaning between the two fellows on Twitter, illustrated the interplay between the national security community and those who cover it, namely Meek. He would be one of them. Quote, and no one straddled both worlds quite like Meek, an Emmy-winning deep-dive journalist who also was a former senior counterterrorism advisor and investigator for the House Homeland Security Committee. To his detractors within ABC, Meek was something of a military fanboy, but his track record of exclusives was undeniable, breaking the news of foiled terrorist plots in New York City and the Army's cover-up of the fratricidal death of Private First Class Dave Sharratt in Iraq, a bombshell that earned Meek a face-to-face meeting with President Obama. With 9 years at ABC under his belt, a buzzy Hulu documentary poised for Emmy attention, and an upcoming book on the military's chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan, the 52-year-old bear of a man seemed to be at the height of his powers and the pinnacle of his profession, unquote. And now he's, well, Chuck, as I put it, we know not where. So
yeah, you know,
a very, very bizarre
material
story.
On
yeah.
his, you know, classified material on his laptop. You don't think he made an emergency call to Hillary, do you? and said, what should I do?
Yeah, isn't that something? You know,
yeah.
If he just knew the same people Hillary Clinton knows, or if he was Hillary Clinton, then I guess nothing would happen to him because he could just say, like she did, oh, well, what do you mean I wiped it clean, the server? You mean like with a cloth? If you remember that line she used,
I do,
she was being so flippant about the whole thing.
Took me
just
five
to remind the audience.
The, took me 5 minutes to get off the floor after she made that statement. Wow.
Yeah, because she had classified information on her personal server, something she wasn't supposed to have. But anyway, we also hear that this fellow Meek resigned very abruptly, the Daily Caller writes, and hasn't worked for us in months, ABC News said. That's their statement. And, quote, the Daily Caller writes, neighbors told the outlet they have not seen him, and witnesses reportedly said his apartment appears vacant. And it also writes, it remains unclear why authorities targeted Meek, who has broken several high-profile stories. So anyway, this is also very interesting. It says here that Meek broke a major story in 2017, I'm quoting the Daily Caller again, Chuck, about the Pentagon covering up the deaths of U.S. servicemen in Niger, which later served as the basis for the Hulu documentary 3212 Unredacted. Now get this. Brian Epstein, an ABC News investigative journalist who worked on 3212 Unredacted alongside Meek, also abruptly left the network months before Meek was last heard from. Epstein told Rolling Stone he would not comment on the story. Another person who worked on 3212 Unredacted told the Rolling Stone, get this, I just want to know what happened. Meek's situation is making me nervous. I'm just going to deadbolt my door, the unnamed person added. So anyway, that's again from the Daily Caller.
Sounding like a connection there, possibly, you know, but you don't want to jump to conclusions, as they say.
Yeah, well, it's very, very odd because if the FBI arrested this fellow, we should know about that. It should have issued a statement, well, he's been arrested and he's been charged by the DOJ, but we've heard nothing. So you can use your own imagination as what happened to him. I mean, I don't really know. But anyway, that book that he was writing, Chuck, that was referenced by Rolling Stone, was being co-authored by this fellow named Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann, and he also provided some input. He said that Meek, quote, contacted me in the spring and was really distraught and told me that he had some serious personal issues going on and that he needed to withdraw from the project. Okay, and then Rolling Stone added, Mann says he hasn't heard from Meek since. Now, anyway, you know, I theorized in my piece, Chuck, that if Meek was experiencing personal problems, who knows, maybe the FBI raid pushed him over the edge and he committed suicide, but then, of course, we haven't found a body, so that makes that thesis a lot less plausible. So, of course, this mystery, Chuck, has inspired some very dark speculation. I was looking on Twitter under Meek's last tweet, and one respondent wrote, so you were kidnapped by the FBI and taken to a black site to be helped, quote unquote. Hopefully we hear from you safe and sound, but since you were kidnapped by the U.S. government, that possibility grows slimmer every day. Again, this person's opinion. We don't really know what happened. Now, something else that occurred to me later, Chuck, I didn't put this in the article, was that who knows, maybe this fellow knew that his place was going to be raided. Maybe he's in hiding somewhere. I have no idea. Maybe he's afraid of the FBI. I don't know how tenable that theory is either. I guess it could occur to a person, though I don't want to impugn this man's reputation, that maybe if he had classified information, he was giving it to the wrong people, and maybe that entity or those people spirited him away somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know,
no one knows what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I read this and you talk about his co-author, okay, Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann, but he's still around, so you're kind of wondering if that had anything to do with it or the new book coming out or something else he did or, I don't know, maybe he didn't pay his library. You know, he had a library book overdue.
Yeah. Look, your guess is as good as mine. But, you know, as I put
days,
it in my
piece. You don't know, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Probably.
One of my respondents on social media, when I sent out this story, wrote, I thought it was sort of funny. He said, quote, so the FBI offed him. What's the mystery? And I'm thinking, okay.
Yeah, really.
Well, this guy has his mind made up. But the funny thing is that all this would have been unthinkable even just 15 years ago, Chuck. But the FBI now has been so politicized that now this actually has to occur to one. I mean, let's face it. We know for a fact that the FBI helped sway the 2020 election against Donald Trump. We know that. We know it's been targeting the Biden administration's opponents while ignoring its allies, right? We know that, like the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. No one's interested in really looking into that. No one's going to hold Hunter Biden, the son of the president, accountable. So, I mean, the bottom line is all of these suspicions now maybe aren't all that far-fetched. And it is very, very scary because the FBI really has become an arm of this corrupt administration. And who knows how many FBI agents are on board with this, Chuck. But I'll also point out that we've seen a purging of these entities in the federal government. We've seen a purging, for instance, of the officer class in the military, even starting under Obama, where obviously they were elevating liberals to positions of power. We see a purging of conservatives, where with these vaccine mandates, for instance, it's a good way of eliminating the more traditionalist people from the military. We see that with the FBI, where, again, they want to eliminate conservatives. And what message do you get here? You get the message that the powers that be in the federal government want to transform all these entities, all these agencies into obedient arms of the state that will persecute the state's political opponents when asked to do so.
You know what? And probably high up on their list of all the things you mentioned is, don't forget, is censoring freedom of speech. Boy, they got to do that because, wow, watch out. And it's amazing what you can get away with saying things on television. And we're going to get into that, and this might be a shocker, and it will be a shocker if you haven't heard it, but it's Selwyn Duke's report on Tucker Carlson's show, and it's it's amazing, I'm going to just tell you that, and it's MSNBC's anti-white race hate TV. My goodness, it would have never happened about 10 or 15 years ago. Selwyn Duke will be right back.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Hi, this is Fred Dreyer talking about my favorite Italian restaurant, Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in downtown Fullerton. A fantastic place to eat. Come inside and dine in our Italian town square, complete with a 10-foot Christmas tree. That's right, 10 feet. Enjoy our food made from secret family recipes. Pasta, chicken, seafood, salads, and our delicious pizza. Incredible desserts, including my favorite, the tiramisu, flown directly in from Italy. Feel the spirit at Angelo and Vinci's, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. Call 714-879-4022 or visit angelosandvincis.com. That's angelosandvincis.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available.
What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. His website, Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, .com. So, I watched this, Selwyn, on MSNBC's report with Tucker Carlson, and man, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in my life. I'm going to let you kind of run with this one. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, Chuck, okay. But what's that? Oh, Chuck, I think the FBI's at my door here.
Yeah, just a moment. He did it. Yes, he's the one. Yes, my puppy's been gone for 5 years. He took him. Yeah.
You Chuck, don't you say now. Don't you say now. I do not know this man, Duke.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Okay, well, we have to laugh, right? We have to laugh or we'll cry.
You know what I got to tell you what I was doing during the last break, okay? I was going to MSNBC, okay, and I kept trying to get their board of directors. And every time I do it on Google, all right, all it comes up with is NBC's board of directors. But I'm kind of thinking they both have, you know, their own board of directors, because just on the ones listed, there's one, two, I'm going to say two and a half people of color, all right, on the board of directors out of a lot of people. I mean, 6, 7, 8, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, golly, all right, almost 30 people on the board of directors. That's way too many, you know. And you should never have an even number. It's got to be odd, you know, just when you're voting. But anyway, I just wanted to, you know, kind of bring that out in the beginning there, because you would think that it's there are a lot of black connection in what we're about to talk about with MSNBC. But here we go. Can I give them the first maybe seven words here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The white race is the cancer of human history. That's how this one starts out. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that was written actually back in 1967 by feminist Susan Sontag, and she herself died about 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago in 2004. But my point is that her sentiment not only lives on, but now, in fact, it's got a home. It's got a number of them, and a major one is MSNBC. And anyway, at issue here is this show that I didn't even know existed. I guess it's something new. It's called The Cross Connection. The host is this woman named Tiffany Cross, a young black woman. And we know about Joy Reid on MSNBC. She's known. Tucker Carlson has dubbed her this, the race lady over there. But I guess she's got competition now from this Cross character, because this Cross character really has some vile anti-white racial rhetoric on her show, and Carlson reported on it, and quite fittingly, he opened his segment talking about an event from history, Chuck, and that was the Rwandan genocide. And he points out that 1993, you had a radio station that opened in Kigali, Rwanda, and openly began attacking one of the country's main ethnic groups, the Tutsis. The radio station was called RTLM, and some people remember it, though, as Hutu Radio. Anyway, the Tutsi people were responsible for all the ills in the world, according to this radio station, everything bad that ever happened in Rwanda. As Carlson put it, Tutsis had way too much money. They had way too much power. Tutsis were way too privileged. They were greedy. They were bigoted. They were racists. They were dangerous. Everything about Tutsiness was repulsive. And history repeats itself, or at least it rhymes, as we know, Chuck. Now, Carlson also pointed out that most Tutsis didn't pay this radio station, RTLM, much mind because it wasn't directed at them. And really, that's analogous to what's happening today. Most conservatives and moderates, Chuck, don't pay much attention to MSNBC. I didn't even know about this show, The Cross Connection, like I said.
You know what?
It's got a targeted.
Yeah. Look at the Tutsis you're talking about. You know, a half a million murdered, you know, hacked to death, machetes. Yeah, I'm going to start watching that every night. I'm going to, I got to pay attention. Yeah, sure I am, right.
Yeah, and by the way, Tucker Carlson confessed that he didn't know this was going on MSNBC until email respondents alerted him to the fact. And
now hold it right there, Sheldon, because I want you to get into a role here right after the break, and I'm going to try not to interrupt you, but this has got to be the most disturbing story and broadcast that I've heard about probably in 20 years at least, maybe. Yeah, who was it I worked with? Never mind. All right, we're going to be right back. Selwyn Duke. What is the website? It's Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, .com. And we shall return.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
It's the unlucky 13th edition of a long-running saga and the conclusion of a trilogy of its most recent incarnation, with Jamie Lee Curtis once again fighting off a sicko seasonal fiend in Halloween Ends, now in theaters everywhere.
What are you gonna do when Michael comes back for you?
This time, something feels different. He's more dangerous. He killed my daughter, but tonight, I will kill him.
Yeah, but first she has to deal with her own granddaughter, one of mass murderer Michael Myers' unlikely disciples. Most of the scenes of sadistic slaughter will produce uncomfortable giggles rather than gasps of horror. One can only hope that director, co-writer David Gordon Green will keep his promise that this is the very end of the series. 1.5 stars for Halloween Ends. It's rated R, of course, and it's more a trick than a treat.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here, reminding you to get heartburn and acid indigestion out of your life. Use Balance7.com. Balance 7 dilutes the acid in your body, unlocks your immune system to protect you. Sick and tired of being sick and tired? Then Balance 7 is for you. Eat and enjoy the foods you want. Get rid of fatigue and brain fog. Aid your digestion and neutralize the acids in your body. You are just a sip away with Balance 7. Balance 7 really works. I use it every day. We want everyone to receive the benefits of Balance 7, so we are giving all new customers a $15 discount. Call 800-793-903. Mention the code word Fred and get $15 off your new order plus free shipping. 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Code word Fred. Get heartburn relief and more with Balance7.com. And there's a money-back guarantee. That's Balance, the number 7.com. Code word Fred.
You're experiencing pain, back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain, pain from a sports injury. If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's DRSHEPS.com, 310-873-4422.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, selwynduke.com. And we are continuing now with MSNBC's anti-white race hate TV. And I guess we can say you're fortunate they don't have that big of a listening audience. But still, boy, this would never happen on TV and radio or anything. Smoke signals, probably. They would have been censored. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And before the break, we drew the analogy of what happened with the Tutsis in Rwanda in the 1990s, because you see the same kind of rhetoric being directed, Chuck, against white people today. They're privileged, they're responsible for all the ills in the world. Just this morning, Chuck, I was working on this piece about, get this, we know we had in Los Angeles those officials who were caught uttering that anti-black rhetoric. You know about that story, right? Well, there was this professor who actually said, well, they had embraced whiteness. That's what that was all about. So essentially they're saying these Hispanic people became white, and that's why they were able to be guilty of this racism. I mean, it's really unbelievable. But anyway, let's get back to this. So this was on, again, this show on MSNBC, The Cross Connection, hosted by Tiffany Cross. And here's one excerpt as played by Tucker Carlson. Tiffany Cross said, many of us have seen the dangers when powerful white people decide they want something. They annex it, and they've never had a problem replacing the people who stand in their way. And then someone named Michael Harriet from TheRoot.com replied, we see American white people are going crazy. They're resorting to violence. Then Ellie Meistel, who looks like a human Q-tip if you've seen him, but anyway, he said, this is literally what conservative white folks do when they don't get their way. They turn violent. And then Cross chimed in again, white people deputizing themselves in some position of authority to have jurisdiction over their life when they need to mind their own blanking business. So that's one excerpt. And again, this is all very blunt. It's not subtle anti-white racism. They're just coming out with it completely and totally. And, you know, I point out in my, Chuck, in my article, and I have to do this because someone's got to add perspective, I point out that if you look at the facts in reality, white Americans commit precious little violence. For example, sorry I have to say this, but approximately 50% of the murder in the United States is committed by just a subset of 13% of the population, and that would be young black men. And most of this, of course, is black-on-black violence. In fact, about 92% of black homicide victims, Chuck, are killed by other blacks. And I also point out that most of the rest are likely killed by Hispanics. So you don't have a lot of white violence here. And we also see this, Chuck, in state demographics, I point out. For instance, you take the state of New Hampshire, which is 88% white. Well, states like that tend to have homicide rates that are actually much like those in Western Europe. And why do I mention Western Europe? Because Western Europe is often touted by gun control activists because it has high levels of gun control, but also a very low incidence of murder. Of course, that's not due to the gun control at all, but that's a different issue. Well, anyway, so here's another segment from this show, The Cross Connection. Let's move on. You had this guest here, Jamelli, if that's how you pronounce it, Hill. Mm-hmm. This person said on Cross's show, quote, I don't think it's our responsibility to be tasked with destroying and dismantling the racial oppression that's against us. That's just saying we're more at fault than the white people who constructed this system and the white people who continue to practice institutional racism. Then Elie Mystol was there again. He said, a majority of white people do not support policies that will unpack and unroll and reform this system of justice. This is what they want. Matt Gaetz is giving the white folks what they want. And Tiffany Cross said, white replacement can strangle culture. So, yes, we should all be concerned about white replacement. It is, after all, a very threat to our survival here.
Wow.
So that's what they're serving up. That's what they're serving up. And, you know, it's really unbelievable. In another clip, Chuck, Cross actually complained about how white women, quote, have been radicalized and are enablers to, quote, domestic terrorism, unquote, such as January 6th. And strangely, though, Chuck, they didn't mention those 600-plus 2020 riots perpetrated by Black Lives Matter and also Antifa to some extent, those riots that killed dozens of people and destroyed billions in property. They didn't mention that at all.
You know,
those riots
were not perpetrated
by white conservatives. Yeah.
When I read your report, and she said, let me see if I can find it here. It's, how white women have been radicalized and enablers to domestic terrorism, such as January 6th. The thing is, comparing white people in January 6th, there was really only one white woman that stood out, and that's the one that got shot. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see very many white women running up and down those halls January 6th, but maybe there were. But it seemed like it was mostly, guys. So I don't.
Well, absolutely, absolutely.
I think they're making up their narrative. That's what I think.
You know, this is all propaganda, and I'll also mention, because this really tips their hand, this person, Cross, she also claimed that white people who, quote, neither discovered nor built this land have been led to believe that America is theirs and theirs alone, unquote, and that, quote, when you build a nation, get this, on stolen land with stolen labor, it was never going to be a republic we could keep. And so here we are celebrating the birth of a nation, independence for white men. So this is anti-American. It's anti-Western. You know, it really is disgusting. There's a lot going on here. I mean, of course, people like Cross are genuinely bigoted. They're sort of the useful idiots who are out there destabilizing society. But I'd say there is also a deeper agenda, and that is to discredit Western civilization, which the left-wing Machiavellians want to destroy. And, of course, they attack white people partially because, or largely because, whites happen to vote largely for the Republican Party. You know, that's a big part of what's going on here. And again, though, individuals such as Cross, it's a little different with them. They genuinely are bigoted, and that's why I called her a useful idiot, because there are people on top who want power, and they use people like her basically sort of as their street thugs to destabilize society. And the irony here, Chuck, as you and I have discussed before, is that if the regime that Cross is working towards ever comes to fruition, people like her are going to be squashed like grapes. That's what always happens. That's what happens to the rabble in the streets like BLM and Antifa, and that's what happens to all these journalists who spread the left-wing line. Because once the kind of regime we're talking about comes to pass, well, then they no longer want destabilization, so they don't want these rabble-rousers around. Once you control the apple cart, you don't want the apple cart overturned. You only want that to happen when it's someone else's apple cart and you want to seize that person's power. Always remember that. But, it's interesting because I also point out – go ahead. Yeah,
go ahead.
Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say, I also point out in my article that, unfortunately, this is a recurring theme, this intergroup agitation. And it's very, very dangerous because if you look at history, you'll see that millions of people have died because of racial and ethnic hatred. And you have to be very careful about stoking its fires. I mean, I mentioned that Professor Thomas Sowell once mentioned the example of mid-20th century Sri Lanka, which, as he put it, quote, had a level of mutual respect and even friendship between its majority and minority communities that was rightly held up to the world as a model, unquote. But then what happened? Well, demagogues came down the pike and they started stoking bigotry's fires and they sparked intergroup violence. That's what happened. And, I'll just conclude by saying, unfortunately, this is inevitable, Chuck. when you have balkanization under a representative government. We have representative government and balkanization here because, you see, when the rate of immigration exceeds the rate of assimilation, and when multiculturalist forces, Chuck, discourage assimilation, and then the country starts comprising disparate groups all walking to the beat of different drummers, well, it's only a matter of time before demagogues start playing the race and ethnicity cards because that's how they can win power. In 1917 Russia, they played the class card because it was a poorer civilization and you had these starker class distinctions so they could pit one class against another. Workers of the world, unite. We're a lot richer. The class distinctions are not as stark. But our racial distinctions are a lot greater, so they play the race card. That's what's going on.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, that how they use in their defense these phony attacks, you know, Jesse Smollett, you know, and then remember the rapes that went on forever and ever and ever about the college boys that had raped the black lady a long, long time ago. And
Duke
it's
University,
like they always... Yeah, they always have to use these phony things to build up. But I think probably the best news that I can see that's coming out of this report is the fact that this MSNBC has very few listeners. You know, it may be one of the worst in America, right?
Yeah. Well, you're right about that. You see, that's part of what's going on here. Part of what's going on, we discussed this a long time ago, I think, is that all these left-wing journalistic entities, whether it's the New York Times or MSNBC or CNN, what happens is they're left-wing. And that starts alienating conservative and moderate viewers and watchers and readers, right? And then, of course, because those people stop watching and reading, these journalistic entities become even more left-wing in terms of their remaining customers. Then they have to pander to them, and they have to become more left-wing in terms of their rhetoric. That alienates even more normal people. That makes them more left-wing, and the whole thing just keeps on snowballing, if you see what I'm saying. And their audience keeps on getting smaller and smaller, and to pander to it, they have to keep on getting more and more left-wing. So it's like a vicious circle of journalistic death for them. That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to give Selwyn a chance here. I hope he'll have time to do it. A quote from G.K. Chesterton, because, I mean, it's been a long time, Selwyn, since you've done one. I've got it marked here 14 times, the last 14 times that you haven't mentioned that gentleman and done a quote. And I don't know if you're upset with him or what, or you found somebody new to quote. We're going to talk about Obama criticizes cancer cultural Dems in a midterm run-up. Yes, Democrats, criticizing Democrats. And it's interesting that... I saw part of this, and I don't know which show it was on. It may have been Tucker Carlson again. But anyway, and I'm thinking, boy, you know, the things he's saying. And then I just found out, you know, that when he was doing this, it was sort of like five other people are there with him, and it's like a podcast that the six of them do. Hmm. Is that correct?
I think he was just a guest there, but
really?
It really
okay.
is funny because, of course, yeah, I believe, unless I'm wrong, but no, I don't think Obama
You're
is doing any
wrong,
regular
sir,
podcast.
Sir. We got about 3 minutes before the break, so go ahead and get into this, okay?
Yeah, he would probably consider doing a regular podcast to be beneath him, and it's sort of funny, but we'll get into his superciliousness a little more in just
but
a second.
Says pod, it says but, pod Save America, hosted by former Obama staffers. Oh, that's what it was, yeah. They were on his staff.
Right, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I got it now. Thank you.
Yes, that's what you call heading into a friendly forum, by the way.
Yeah, really.
Your former staffers. But,
it's
you know,
like
it's so funny.
I'm always worried about, thing. You know, getting you on because, you know, I know how you hate these Democrats, but go ahead.
You know, there's a saying, whoever marries the spirit of this age will find himself a widower in the next. And Barack Obama, as I put it in my piece, might just be beginning to learn this because actually even he's finding today's uber wokeness to be a little much for him. And I do think it probably is a little much for him. But ironically, despite that, he's going around the country now campaigning for these midterm candidates. So essentially what he's saying, because these people are very left-wing like John Fetterman and Stacey Abrams, he's saying, take it from moderate me. vote for these radicals. But anyway, here's the story. So Obama was on this Pod Save America podcast, and basically he was saying that people need to cool down the temperature. He said about his own party, quote, "Sometimes Democrats are buzzkills. Sometimes people just want to not feel as if they're walking on eggshells, and they want some acknowledgement that life is messy and that all of us at any given moment can say things the wrong way, make mistakes." So anyway, that's absolutely true. The problem is, Chuck, is that he's actually empowering the people who are making life even messier. You know, and actions speak louder than words, so we have to ask, when has Obama ever stood up and come out against, in a specific case, this wokeness and this cancel culture that he's bemoaning in principle? You know, because it's very easy to say in principle, well, they're going a bit too far. They're all killjoys. It's another thing to stand up when someone actually is being canceled for, let's say, saying, no, a boy cannot become a girl just by willing it. But as I put it in my piece, you know, you have to remember that Obama has always been a radical. So don't be fooled by his claims of moderation right now. I mean, when he was at Occidental College, I reported on this years ago, he reportedly was a flat-out Marxist-Leninist. Okay? Another fact, the 2008 National Journal Analysis, Chuck, found that he was, in 2007, okay, this was the year before his presidency, our country's most liberal senator. Okay? Not only that, he expressed, most people don't know this, I never forgot it, he expressed in the mid-90s support for so-called same-sex marriage before it was even fashionable. Then later on, he claimed to be against it before finally officially being for it in 2012. Okay? But, you know, the truth is that, like I said, I know we're going to be going to another break here, yeah, is that it's one thing saying in principle you're against cancel culture and this mouth-muzzling tyranny that we call wokeness, but it's quite another thing to actually stand up and be counted when it counts. Yeah. And, you know, when did Obama ever warn of these – I know we're going to a break here, so why don't I leave that for after the break? How's
all
that?
All right. And then it's interesting, too, that he's talking about he's all for same-sex marriage. I wonder what his wife thought about that. I won't go there right now. Okay, thank you. You're very good, yes. And be careful of what you say about him, because we'll have time to let you know that he does have 132 million Twitter followers, yes. But remember how they say those are inflated? Yeah, it's like four tires, or make it five if you got a spare tire. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, will be right back. His website, selwynduke.com.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. We'll continue now. Speaking about Obama's two cents, so to speak. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's all he's got intellectually. But anyway, you know, I have to say, Chuck, I find what he's doing very, very irritating because it really is a con. He goes on this podcast and he basically complains about wokeness and cancel culture. Because what he's doing is he's trying to portray himself as this moderate guy, this cool fellow who you wouldn't mind having a beer with. Then when he tells you, vote for Raphael Warnock down in Georgia and Stacey Abrams down in Georgia, then you're going to be more likely to listen to him because you figure, well, he's a voice of reason. He's in the middle, but he's not in the middle, as I pointed out. He was the most liberal senator in the Senate, according to one analysis. And here, what was he doing? Well, he was down in Georgia with Warnock, promoting a guy, Warnock, who voted with the Biden administration 96% of the time. Stacey Abrams is also very radical. She's on board with critical race theory, the whole so-called transgender agenda, the whole nine yards. These are radical, radical people. And Obama, when it was time to stand and be counted, he was found wanting. Okay, when you had Harry Potter creator J.K. Rowling, Chuck, who was being canceled, or at least they were trying to cancel her because she was uttering the simple truth that a man can't become a woman just by willing it. Where was he? Where was he standing up and taking her side? No, he wasn't there. Okay, did he even say anything so tepid as that mutilating minors in transgenderism's name, quote, may not be a good idea? No. And this is a man with a lot of influence. I point out in my piece that he has 132 million Twitter followers, and he's got unbelievable name recognition. He could wield staggering influence, but he uses his influence only to affect evil. Never forget that, okay? He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's what he is. And you know what's funny? I don't have this in my article, Chuck, but he also said in this podcast interview that Democrats have to learn from his mistakes. For instance, he said, often I became too professorial. Talk about giving yourself a compliment. So you see, Chuck, that was the problem. The problem was he was too intellectual for you to understand him. That was the issue. Now, it's funny, Chuck, I don't know about you. I don't remember him being too professorial. I don't think that was the issue with him, but that's what he actually said.
You know, and one time he made a statement one time, and this is never going to go away from me, and somebody was talking about now that he was no longer president, and it was about to expire. He was still president at the time. And he said, you know, my ideal situation would be that I could stand in the shadows and still have the power to dictate what I thought is the correct way for this country to be run, blah, blah, blah. I never forgot that. And to this day, I'm still thinking he's standing in the shadows. He didn't move too far from the White House, did he, or from the Capitol. You know, it's just, you wonder. And thank God we don't have
hard to say. I really
voter,
don't know.
You know, we don't have this what's it called? Voter fraud? Yeah. Remember whenever
Oh.
what's his name said that? And also when you talk
about 2020,
the
most secure election in American history.
132 million Twitter followers. And remember Elon Musk said, I don't think I'm going to buy it, man. You got all these phony followers that don't really exist. I wonder how many of the 132 million. Wow. Always a pleasure, Selwyn. Look forward to our next visit, sir, and thank you very much. And listener, if you get a chance, go to selwynduke.com and read how New York City won the war on crime. Fantastic article. Thank you, Swade. Thank you for listening. And God bless the United States of America.